is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The American economy with Elizabeth Peake, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. The reaction in the Wall Street Journal headline suggests that we must do a whole lot of illustration. For example, inflation picks up to 3.2%, comma, slightly hotter than expected. Subhead, core inflation, which excludes food and energy, was up 3.8%. I need a inflation whisperer, Liz. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Don't we all? Because this is the most watched number, although the markets didn't seem to react to it very much today. So maybe they've moved on to something more intelligent like earnings. I don't know. I mean, look, the inflation numbers for several months actually have been somewhat disappointing. That is to say, they haven't been slowing as everybody expected it to. The culprit today was energy. I think we talked about that last week, that energy remains an X factor. And as much as everybody would like to put that to bed and sort of pretend that oil prices don't matter, guess what? They do. And they have been moving steadily higher. So gasoline prices have been moving somewhat higher. It's not because demand is so strong around the world. After all, China continues to be consuming less oil than you might expect, given their historical trendline growth. But the truth is, OPEC Plus has done a pretty good job of restricting exports, and that is causing oil prices to stay steady, or actually, in the last few months, move a little bit higher, or I should say weeks. So energy was a problem, and shelter remains a problem. And I think economists largely have been looking for shelter, which is either rents or the owner equivalent rent, that is to say imputed price of home ownership and living in your own home, to come down. That was a real problem for 2 or 3 years, and everyone has been expecting that to abate because rents in some cities have in fact steadied or come down, and I think people have been extrapolating from that the overall number would recede. But the real problem, John, and this is a real problem, it's not just a data problem, the cost of housing is incredibly expensive, and we know the reasons why. People who have mortgages at 3% or 4% are reluctant to sell a house and buy a new one, even if they need a bigger one, at 8%, because the cost of their new house is going to be way, way more expensive. Average mortgage costs have doubled over the past year, something that Joe Biden tried to address with sort of a cockamamie new plan in his State of the Union address. But, you know, this is a real issue. And so this isn't, again, this isn't just sort of data manipulation. This is actually a problem. And I think it's particularly a problem for millennials and young people who are starting out in life. And the first big purchase everybody makes, other than an automobile, is certainly your home. And that kind of gives you a leg up in terms of building capital and becoming wealthy and all the rest of those good things that can happen. None of it starts if you can't afford a home. And that's where an awful lot of people are right now.
Last week, Mr. Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, commenting to Congress, had the House and the Senate, had this to say, anticipating the jobs number on Friday, which we will discuss immediately, and the inflation number today and for the rest of the month. We're waiting to become more confident that inflation is moving sustainably at 2%. When we do get that confidence, and we're not far from it, it will be appropriate to begin to reduce interest rates so that we don't drive the economy into recession. There's the fear right there at the end, Liz. Waiting too long. But there is no formula, right? They have to do a great deal of guessing. We're seeing the same numbers they see. They don't have private information that is denied to us. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And they have a dual mandate. Part of it is interest, and part of it is inflation, but the other part of it is jobs. And so they're not just looking, they're looking, yes, certainly at prices. And I think that Powell's instinct here would be not to lower rates because, you know, inflation continues to come in, as we keep saying, hotter than expected. But the problem is, You also have to take a look at the jobs market. And recent jobs numbers, the headline numbers, have been huge. Remember, January blew everybody off the map. It was over 300,000 jobs being created in January, which literally made no sense at all. And even if you went through all the revisions and adjustments and corrections to the year before and seasonal changes, and there were other changes of reclassifying jobs. I mean, it was a complete mess. And the truth is, no one could make heads or tails out of it. Last week wasn't much better. Huge revisions for December and January. So the actual number, if you know, remove all that, was 108,000 jobs being created, which is on the low end. But John, I think more and more, the discussion has to do with inflation. I think also more and more now people are looking at the employment situation and seeing cracks in what was a really solid jobs market up till, I would say, probably, I don't know, September, October last year, when we began to see wobbles. Well, what do wobbles look like? The quits rate coming down, fewer jobs available, still a gigantic number, but the truth is it is coming down, not up. And the sense, and reporting from the NFIB surveys, that's the small business organization, that looks like employment planning is going down, not up. And that is to say, business owners are looking at hiring fewer people, not more people. And also that's confirmed in the services PMI information, ISM information, excuse me, and also the goods part of the ISM program. So, I mean, there's a lot of data out there that does indicate, by the way, including the fact that wages aren't going up very fast, that does indicate that the jobs market is softening. So what does that mean? And unemployment went up, by the way, also to 3.9%. What that means is that the Fed is going to be, I think, taking more account of the employment picture maybe than they would have 2 or 3 months ago. The bottom line is most people don't expect the Fed to do anything now until June. And the market is now pricing in 2 to 3 cuts. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were speaking, there were some people, including, I want to say Goldman Sachs, but maybe I'm wrong about that, talking about as many as 5 or 6 cuts this year. I think the problem with that projection is, A, it's not going to start as soon as they thought, and B, we have an election year. And as you and I discussed last week, that does have an impact. You can't really imagine that Jay Powell is going to want to be cutting rates in October, right before the election, or September, because that would be considered, really not the right thing to do, to try and impact, because it certainly could impact the election outcome. And I think Fed chairs, supposedly, like Department of Justice people and other agencies, are really trying not to do that. We'll see.
We have another opinion. Jamie Dimon speaking to Australia via a video link. The world is pricing in a soft landing at probably 70-80%, said the head of the largest bank in the solar system, JP Morgan Chase. I think the chance of a soft landing in the next year or two is half that. The worst case would be stagflation. Do you hear that word anywhere, Liz? I just read it with Jamie Dimon and I was struck by it. What is stagflation that he's putting it on the table?
Well, I thought, like you, I was sort of struck because we haven't heard that in quite a long time. Stagflation is what happened when Jimmy Carter was president. Of course, all of us keep seeing parallels between today and then. It's when growth really slows down. And by the way, we're still growing at 2 to 2.5%. So it's not really dire right now. And inflation continues. So it's a pretty horrible combination. I don't see that happening right now. It certainly could, particularly if oil prices go up more, then you're going to have a problem with inflation, although that would be top line and probably not, probably would be discounted by a lot of investors. But I'm surprised that Dimon went there. I do think, look, we've talked about this for 2 years. There are a lot of reasons to think we're not out of the woods, that the landing may not be soft. Joe Biden the other night in the State of the Union address talked about a soft landing. I thought that was a terrible mistake on his part. He can't guarantee that. Nobody is really convinced that that is actually happening. Uh, And if you look back at 2007-08, right before the economy fell apart, everything looked kind of the way it does now. Everybody was optimistic we were going to get through it. In fact, interest rates were going up, not down, when the recession hit, because people were confident that the economy was growing. And that, by the way, the Wall Street Journal had a front page article today about how growth is so great in the United States right now that the market has broadened out. It's not just the, you know, top seven stocks or 10 stocks that are doing well. Now more stocks are doing well, which is a very good vote of confidence in the overall economy. So I don't see that right now. Unless Jamie Dimon is looking at stuff internal to the bank that we're not seeing, I have no idea where he came up with that.
One more detail about what Dimon sees right now. He won't remove the idea of a recession. That has been a term that's inhibited the market for a year and a half. Is that gone now, Liz? He used the word, but we don't have to.
Well, again, the opposite of a soft landing is you go into recession.
Right.
And certainly the expectation for that, which was absolutely, you know, people were convinced in early 2022 that that was going to happen. It hasn't. And I think the expectations for that are way, way down. I think the odds, if you looked at odds of a recession right now on the part of most investors, it'd be like 20%. Very, very low.
We'll keep it there. We're going to turn to the campaign. Liz mentions the State of the Union. There was a follow-on to that. The White House is presenting a budget and plans for the second term of Mr. Biden. And we'll comment on what we know of Mr. Trump's campaign's plans for the economy. This is CBS Eye on the World with Liz Peek of The Hill, of Fox News, of Fox Business. I'm John Batchelor.